I want to go to my guest in studio, though, because I'm joined in studio by Declan O'Rourke, who's a well-accomplished singer and author and poet as well as everything else that goes with it. Declan, good morning to you.
Morning, John. How are you doing? I just appeared while you were sitting there.
It's great to have you with us, because I know people say that all the time, but I'm a big fan of your work singing and in the writing world as well. We'll start first, though, Declan, by talking about A Whisper from Oblivion. It's part of this great famine chronicle you're doing. It's the second installment of the three. Talk to us a bit about it.
Very good. Well, it's based in 1847, which is, you know, the last one. Feels like it was more of a setup, or this is kind of the eye of the storm, you know.
Yeah, and the two characters you're following here, Porrick and Cóch Ubúchala, talk to us about them and their journey in this time.
Well, I came across an account of that family, the Ubúchala family, around the year 2000. I picked up a book called The Workhouses of Ireland, and on the first page, on the opening page, there was just in a few lines an account of this family. It said, the man who carried his wife home from the workhouse mile after mile to their old home and was found the next morning dead with his wife's feet held to his chest as if he'd been trying to warm them.
Wow.
And it was just so moving and so powerful, you know. It was the most powerful thing I've ever read, I think. And but there was more, I thought, than... It was obviously tragic and extremely sad, but there was more than that, and it appeared to me, took me a long time to realise why it felt so powerful, but I think it's because there was so much beauty in that too. I mean, what he managed to do for his loved one with his final breath and strength, you know, was a triumph over everything else that happened. And I think that's amazing. I think it's a great thing to... for anyone to aspire to in terms of, you know, what we give to our families and everything else.
Yeah. I'm going to quote Donal Ryan now on the book A Whisper from Oblivion. A feat of empathy and imagination, a harrowing and powerful story told with passion and love. There's music in every line. And I know you've done an album on the famine as well before, Declan, so you're really putting this to paper now as well in this book.
Yeah, you know, I was... When I read that first story as a young songwriter, I felt instantly kind of inspired to try and share it in song. And the more I read, then trying to find out more about these people, the more stories there were. And I knew it was going to be a big project. And I spent about 17 years finding stories to eventually put an album together. And then I thought I was finished with it. I thought I was finished with the subject, and I was happy I'd done the best I can. But a few other things kind of transpired that made me realize that I had more to do and it wasn't finished with me. One of them being that I was very unexpectedly taken to see the remains of the cottage that story happened in.
Okay.
In 2018, and I was, you know, for a start, just couldn't believe that anything would have remained after all that time. It had been exposed by a gorse fire in recent years on somebody's land. And to stand there and kind of go, this really happened. It wasn't out of my imagination, you know. And to kind of get a sense of looking around, you know, you could see for miles down these kind of open plains. And the owner of the land said, if you stood up here in the wind, it would skin you, you know. And you got a real sense of how difficult their lives must have been, you know.
Yeah.
And so I knew I had to do more.
But I think with this work, and with a lot of your work, although it's a bleak time in Irish history and there's a lot of devastation there, you still try and find the humanity and the love and the compassion and the warmth, and it's seen in this novel as well.
Thanks, John. Yeah, I hope at the root of everything I do really is empathy and hope and, you know, a kind of something we can all take from it in our lives.
Yeah. And now this is the second installment. When can we expect the third installment of this famine chronicle?
I'm still catching my breath after this one, nurturing it into the world, but I have actually written a few lumps of the next one. But I'm kind of being loose with myself in terms of I don't want to feel too much like I know what I have to do. I wanted to take me and kind of surprise me and see where it goes. So I expect it'll be probably at this stage, 2024, when it lands, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not too bad. Next year.
Is that next year? Oh, no, sorry, 2025.
Sorry. I was thinking.
Jesus, grief enough of me.
Are you enjoying the process, though? Because it is very different to songwriting. A longer form is the most obvious thing, but you can really get into the meat of it in a novel.
I absolutely love it. I've completely got the bug, you know. It's just like a longer song. You've more time to have fun. You know, in the doing is where I get most kind of fulfillment out of my work. Mm. I've realized that more and more over time. And, you know, if you find something you're passionate about and something you want to bring attention to, it's very easy to just... I've been gifted in terms of the bandwidth that people give me, and they allow me to do this for a living. So I'm extremely lucky, you know, to kind of obsess and to immerse myself in these things. And
are there any other periods in Irish history that you'd like to delve into in this regard, like the famine? Is there any other periods you're looking at in the future?
Not in particular, no. I mean, I love history in general, not just Irish history. I think I just love human stories. I like to think that, you know, if I do write more, it probably won't just be stuck to history. I don't know what I'm going to do. My songwriting tends to kind of jump all over the place, and I like to be diverse with subjects and keep it fresh for me, you know. Mm. So hopefully with writing, I would take the same tack.
Mm. Now, A Whisper from Oblivion is coming out now, and if people want to get it, where is the best place where you get all your books, I suppose, online and in the local bookstores?
Yeah, it's available in all bookshops as far as I know. And if you go to my website, DeclanO'Rourke.com, there's a books page, and it's got links to quite a few retailers who do mail orders, or you can find it in most bookshops, yeah.
Brilliant. Well, you're going to stay with us, Declan, because we're going to look at your tour next and your songwriting. You're going to do a bit of performance for us as well. So you can look forward to all that plus lots more here on Goa Talks between now and 12 noon. And a very good morning to you. Welcome back into today's programme. Declan O'Rourke stays with us now because we're talking about his upcoming national tour. It's starting in the Roscommon Arts Centre on the 6th of October, and he goes to many other venues, including Galway as well. But Declan, you're going to take a song from your latest album, Arrivals. This is The Stars Over Kinvara, very fitting for a Galway audience. And Declan, in your own time.
Summer nights on his racing bike, your great granddad Mike O'Killeen. When our classes were done in Galway town, cycled home the miles between. And the moon overhead led him home as he sped, till the stars over Kinvara said, welcome home. Long before I ran to be your old man, I dreamed of living here, where Atlantic waves 'neath Dungura's gaze keep the air so fresh and clear. I was 25 when I first laid eyes on where I knew I'd find my children's eyes. And the stars over Kinvara said, welcome home. first night I drove you and Mammy home, I pulled over in Ballandarine. I just had to pull in, I had never seen such a sky of gems that gleamed. Oh, Ryan was out, and the starry plough, all the night was on display, over the burn, the road and the bay. There were 10 more lights that shone for each one of our own passed on. And I dreamed that my gold too was shining down on you. When the stars over Kinvara said, welcome home. When the stars over Kinvara said, welcome home.
Well done, Declan. Well done. That's the Stars Over Kinvara from his latest album, Arrivals. Declan O'Rourke, take a bow there. I know it's on radio, but take a bow anyways.
Thank you. I will.
Talk to me about your tour coming up. As I mentioned there, you're starting in the Roscommon Arts Centre on the 6th of October. You're in Galway on Saturday the 4th of November. That's sold out, but you're in many other locations across the West and across the country as well. It's an exciting few weeks you have ahead.
Really is, yeah, yeah. I'm so looking forward to it. You know, I haven't been locked myself in a room for 2 years writing books. There's kind of a real kind of like pulling the elastic. It's going to fire me onto the stage, I think, you know. We're doing about 17 dates and you know, since I finished writing, I've had songs flowing out, and I've felt that lovely reconnection with something that I kind of had taken a break from, you know, necessarily, because the writing is so all-consuming. So there was a little part of me that was almost, you know, worried. I was kind of going, what have I done? Have I broken it? You know, but they're really flowing out now, and the last month or two I've been just playing all these new songs and can't wait to put them on the stage with some of the old ones, of course, you know, and mix them all in.
And is there a new album in the offing with those new songs?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. It's not long behind at all. I'm gonna have to book some studio time, but I plan to make that hopefully very soon, maybe in the spring or summer next year.
Brilliant, brilliant. And what will it be like any of your other albums, or what sort of theme are you going with this one?
Definitely not like any of them.
Wow.
I think, you know, I'm kind of, even on stage for this one, I'm going to be trying a few things that I've never done before. So I'm just being very open-minded. And I think the break from it and the kind of whatever I have kind of learned or while I was doing something very different in terms of writing has liberated me in a way and made me feel kind of fresh. And I'm just being very open with whatever's coming, and that's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Now, the Stars Over Kinvara from your last album, Arrivals, I think it has some of them themes that we talked about in your book, A Whisper from Oblivion, as well, just that storytelling, the romance and that tinge of sadness as well, and maybe nostalgia and melancholy. Talk to us a bit about that and the process of that song.
Well, that song is actually pure love and joy. It's basically I wrote that, it began literally on the way home from the hospital when my wife and I were bringing our son home.
Okay.
And I literally did pull over in Ballandarine, and the stars were, I've never seen a sky like it. There was, you know, it was just like one of those postcard, you know, a winter January night, and the sky was so clear, and I could see, you know, you could see the everything, and I just, it felt like a welcome, you know, for him. And the song kind of flowed out after that, and it was, I suppose, connecting the dots in terms of generations. And my people came from Kinvara on my mother's side, my mother's father's side. And that's what drew me there. So it was, you know, kind of just bringing all that into it, and it's quite hard to sing, actually. I kind of have to not think about it because I get a bit emotional, you know. Mm. But it's all nice feelings. There's actually very little sadness or melancholy in that one. But maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe I'm oblivious to it, to use a word of the day.
Absolutely. Now, I mentioned there the tickets for the Galway show on the 4th of November are sold out. Is there a possibility of a Sunday show in Galway, or am I talking too soon?
I haven't had any discussions about that. I very much doubt at this stage, but you know, talk to the Town Hall Theatre, you know, I'd be up for it. Definitely.
They
probably have somebody in already. That's probably the problem. The dates either side.
Well, you still have the likes of Westport on the 14th of October. There's low tickets there, and also the Roscommon Arts Centre on Friday the 6th of October. So it should be a great night out for all involved, and you can go on to declanorourke.ie, is it, for more details?
declanorourke.com, definitely. Yeah, the other near one is Limerick. We have a few seats left for that one, which I think is the night before Galway, actually.
It is the 3rd of November, Friday, yes, in the Lime Tree Theatre.
Yeah.
Declan O'Rourke, it's been a pleasure having you. Beautiful music, and best of luck with the novel A Whisper from Oblivion as well. Definitely worth a read if you're into an empathic and epic story. Declan O'Rourke, thank you for joining us on Galway Talk.
Thank you so much, John. I might just throw in one thing, and that we have a launch event in Kenny's Bookshop tonight. I'll be in conversation with James Harold, and we have a few places left for that. If you just call them up or go on the website, it's at 6 p.m. and we'll have some fun there.
Brilliant. So all go down to Kenny's this evening at 6 o'clock to hear that discussion with Declan on his new book, A Whisper from Oblivion. Declan O'Rourke, thank you for joining us on Galway Talks. Up next is Ours to Protect. And a very good morning to you. Welcome to Ours to Protect with me, John Morley. It's episode 16, and this week on the programme, we're looking at National Tree Day with Éineann Ní Leabhna, as they encourage schools across Galway to take up the challenge of planting a tree. If you want to get in touch with the programme, you can do on our text and WhatsApp number. That's 086 38 33 553. You can phone us on 0917 00077. You could email irishprotect@goibfm.ie. Go on to irishprotect.ie for more information on this initiative, which is supported by the IBI and Commission Naman. You can take the carbon footprint calculator and also take a very quick survey. All that plus lots more coming up on this episode of Irish Protect. And a very good morning to you. Welcome into Ours to Protect. Now, I'm delighted to say we're joined on the line by Éineann Ní Leabhna, who is the communication spokesperson for the Tree Council of Ireland and also the spokesperson ahead of National Tree Day. Éineann, a very good morning to you.
Good morning. Great to talk to you.
Great to have you with us. Talk to us about this National Tree Day, which is coming up very shortly.
Well, yes, the Tree Council of Ireland, in partnership with SPAR, is encouraging primary school children all around the country to go and plant a tree on National Tree Day. And National Tree Day is the first Thursday in October, which this year, of course, is the 5th of October. And on this National Tree Day, we encourage teachers and their pupils to go outside and learn all about trees, enjoy trees, you know, study them, be excited about them. And to that end, with the sponsorship that SPAR are giving us, we are sending out trees to schools. We have 2,000 native Irish hazel tree saplings for people to grab up and have to plant on the day. So in order to get your free Irish native tree sapling, you go to the special website, which is treeday.ie. You take the forest pledge to say that you're very into biodiversity and trees, and we send you out a sapling to your school to be planted. So SPAR National Tree Day then is because it's called SPAR National Tree Day this year because SPAR are our sponsors, but the Tree Council of Ireland have been running a National Tree Day for the last 25 years. So it's, you know, schools have been getting different trees each year. Some of them have quite an arboretum by this stage. But we have a theme every year, and the theme this year is nuts about nature. So we're all supposed to be nuts about nature. And that, of course, fits in very well with the fact that the hazel tree is the tree we're giving out this year, because obviously there are nuts on the hazel tree, and Sammy the squirrel loves to have the nuts and eat them up. And it's really, really good for biodiversity. There's lovely catkins on hazels in springtime before the leaves come. And this is a great source of pollen for the early bees that come out at that time of the year. So it's a win-win all round, really, isn't it?
Absolutely. And very important, when you're targeting it at primary school children, you do it in a fun way. I think that nuts about nature is a good way of doing it. And it's important that we raise our children with an appreciation of biodiversity and nature and trees.
Absolutely, indeed. I mean, biodiversity begins with trees. So you have your tree, you have your roots in the ground interacting with the soil and that. You have your branches, you have your leaves coming out. As I said, the catkins on the hazel come out first. They're the flowers, if you will. And then you have the leaves come out after that. And then you have all sorts of creepy crawlies feeding on the leaves. You have things like shield bugs and things like green flies and caterpillars. And birds come along then to feed on those and collect them up for their, you know, nestlings in June, when they have nests. And then you have the nuts in the autumn time, which, as well as squirrels eating them, you get jays eating them, mice eating them as well. And under the tree then you will have fungi associated with the mycorrhizae, with the roots in the tree. It doesn't do the tree any harm, but they're sort of an interconnection between the fungi and the tree itself. So it's a huge focus for biodiversity in the first instance. And then if you have more than one, I mean, the Irish word for a tree, for a hazel tree, is cal. So a collection of hazel trees is a quill. We think it's the word for woodland, and it is. Mind you, there are other words, Irish words for woodlands as well, things like fee and ross. But quill is one, because hazel was such an important tree in Ireland long ago. Did you know it was the tree of wisdom? It grew on the banks of the River Boyne. There were seven hazel trees. The nuts fell into the water and were eaten by the salmon who was swimming around underneath, and the salmon duly became the salmon of knowledge, but he got all his knowledge from the hazel tree. So a good one to plant in your school, I would think.
Absolutely. And you're educating these young people in the process, and it's important to educate them, because if they're educated about trees growing up, they can then protect trees in their area.
Well, absolutely. I mean, as well as all this biodiversity that I'm telling you about, the other thing that trees are really important is that, you know, when a tree grows, when the photosynthesis happens, what happens is the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is split in half by the chlorophyll molecule. That's what photosynthesis is. So it splits the CO2 in half. It takes all the C's, all the carbon, and that's what the tree is made of, and it gives off the oxygen for us to breathe. So every tree that grows is taking carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere and creating oxygen for us. And this is really important in a world where carbon dioxide levels are increasing, where climate change is happening. An antidote to that is planting trees. So the more trees we plant, the more impact that will have. So that's another very important aspect when we think about planting trees. So we have them for biodiversity, we have them for carbon capture, we have them as a wonderful source of enjoyment and pleasure in being with them and around them, really, really good for our mental health. And of course then they can be useful for timber, for clay and wattle, made those wattles that they had in houses long ago that William Butler Yeats was talking about on I Will Arise and Go Now. They were actually the walls of houses right up to Viking time. So they were a very important tree in the Irish landscape long ago, and indeed they still are.
Yeah, and it's even more deep-rooted than that as well, because I know trees are very important in terms of windbreakers, for habitats, for soil types as well, draining soils and keeping soils bound together. They do serve a very wide range of functions.
Absolutely, and hazel in particular can grow where it's kind of wet. So if you have them, a hazel collection of hazel trees on a river bank, the roots hold on to the soil, so erosion by rainfall is diminished. And I mean, in way climate is changing at the moment and the heavy rainfalls that we have, you know, if we have trees long grown by the banks of rivers, it'll stop the soils and erosion happening, which is very important. So that's a really good use of trees in one sense. And then a whole woodland, of course, then is not just one tree. If you have a woodland of which hazel is part of it, the biodiversity is greater. If you have hedges in a field and you have cattle in the field, well, the hedges then are a windbreak, they're a source of protection and shelter for the cattle. You don't get that from a lump of electric wire or electric fence or a barbed wire fence, but you do get protection for your animals from hedgerows. So that's a very important area where trees can be planted as well, in lines rather than in a woodland as such. You know, that's also something to be considered.
And there's plenty that can be planted during the winter.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. Now, we will be sending out a sapling, so it'll come in a plastic bag, a bare-rooted sapling. So we don't want that to dry out. So that'll be planted then as quickly as they can once they take it out of the plastic bag. But in the wintertime, when there's no leaves on the trees, you can plant bare-rooted trees because you have no leaves drawing on them. But all the year round, I mean, if you buy a tree in a nursery centre in a pot with roots on it, you can plant it at any stage if it's in a pot. But I mean, it's obviously growing at that point if it has its leaves. But in the wintertime, when you have no leaves on the trees, they're in a dormant state, so that's a good time. So between, once the leaves fall off, between October and March is the winter planting season for things, and this is why we have this coming up in October and planting. Then it'll be the beginning of the winter, the beginning of the cold spell, and then at the end of the cold spell in March, the National Tree Council has National Tree Week, which is a whole week. That's a scale, Ella, we can talk to you about that in March. That's for everybody, not just for schools. But Spar National Tree Day is for schools, it's for primary schools, it's on Thursday the 5th of October, and it's a great day for schools to get out and about and enjoy the woodlands and the wildlife and the nature and all of the things that we see happening at this time of year.
Absolutely. Aine Ní Luadhna, the communication spokesperson for the Tree Council of Ireland. If people want to get more details, they can go to treeday.ie.
That's right, indeed. Good to talk to you now. Thank you very much.
And that is it for this week's episode of Ars Protect. Join us next week where we speak with Niamh Fitzgerald of Birdwatch Ireland, as volunteers are wont to learn to survey Galway Bay's beautiful waterbirds, and there'll be free workshops. So join us next Thursday at 11:30 as this is Ars Protect.
Ars to Protect, brought to you by Galway Bay FM, the IBI, and funded by Commission na Mban with the television licence fee. Check out arstoprotect.ie for more info.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. Now, we're looking at all things Galway County Culture Night now. We're joined in studio by Sharon O'Grady, who's the Galway County Arts Officer, and also by Victoria McCormack, who's the Head of Creative Engagement with Mocknes. You're both very welcome onto the programme today. And Victoria, I'll start with you. A lot happening in the County of Galway for Culture Night.
Well, I'll take it,
Sharon,
if that's okay.
Yeah.
Just in terms of Galway County, we have a huge programme, so it'll be impossible to go through it all, but everyone can look at culturenight.ie, or if you go to galway.ie or Galway Culture Night, County Culture Night Facebook page. But just to mention a few things, there's events, music, theatre, spectacle, visual arts, poetry happening all over the towns and villages in Galway County, including Abbeynockmoy, Athenry, Ballinasloe, Ballanderreen, Claren Bridge, Clifton, Gort, Headford, Inishbofin, the Islands, Inishere, Roundstone and Tuam. But just a few of them, maybe in Ballinasloe, we have a couple of events happening in the library and across in the town hall. But we have a celebrating the rich culture and vibrant community of the traveller community in Ballinasloe Town Hall Theatre. And then also Group 8 are exhibiting there as well. And in Gort, we have a river walk with Sonic Strings, a new teenage orchestra from Cool Music and Arts. And they'll be doing a promenade down the river walk. Plus there's a number of workshops happening in Gort Library as well. In Tuam Family Centre, you can experience a cross-cultural celebration as musicians from North Africa weave their melodies with verses from the Farsi poetry. And Tuam, there's a number of events happening also in the library. Fuse Musical Trad are playing as well in Tuam. And of course, Spark Catchers with Jojo and Mighty and all of the young people doing performances in King Rory Park. Lochray, then we have a lovely event taking part. It's a bilingual night of music and Shannon singing in Lochray Library, with led by Professor Lillis O'Leary. So that's a nice event. And then Headford Lace have two events happening in Headford, an audio walk and an event happening in the Angler's Rest on tomorrow evening as well. So like, it's a very, very busy night. Some amazing. Ross na Rún are also opening their doors for the first time this year, which is great. And obviously Athenry Heritage Centre are supporting us with a huge amount of events happening in the lead up to the Mocknes event taking place on the streets of Athenry.
As the Galway County Arts Officer, Culture Night must be like the All-Ireland Final for you, Sharon.
There's a lot of hurrying up and waiting, but there's a huge team behind it because it takes weeks and months to organise. So like in the Arts Office, we've Amy Lawless, our Assistant Arts Officer, who's really been kind of the bedrock behind this programme, and Claire in the office as well. So like we've a team then with Tracy and obviously Katie Meehan. So we've sharing the team at Galway City as well, which is brilliant. So like it does take a lot of time, and obviously it's become such a big thing. This, you know, we've got the city and the county, but between both of us, the city and county, we have so much to offer. So it's great that you don't have to travel into the city if you don't want, or you can stay in the county and then come into the city for the late night events. So we've really tried to coordinate together quite well. So it's a big PR event, but it's communities coming out to celebrate their own culture. That's the most important thing about Culture Night.
Yeah, definitely. It's a celebration. And part of that celebration, we have Victoria McCormack, who is the head of creative engagement with Mocness. Victoria, good morning. And you're going to be very busy there in Mocness with the A Walk with Crom.
Yes, we're all systems go now at Mocness headquarters, getting ready for tomorrow's event in Athenry, which we're very excited about. Crom, one of our giants in resident, is going to be taking a walk along the streets in Athenry tomorrow evening. Crom is actually a resident of Athenry, so he's very excited and delighted to meet the community for the first time. The Mocness warehouse is actually based in Athenry, where all the magic happens. So it's a really, we're really delighted to be kind of meeting all of the community in Athenry tomorrow night. And that will be, so Crom will be there, and we will have our Mocness Youth Theatre led by Maria Tevenin, and the Mocness drummers led by Aveen Craddock. And then we also have a beautiful stilter, Emily Bell, who will be part of that event as well.
Absolutely. And I suppose we were out in Athenry there a few weeks back, and the impact that Mocness has had out there, you can really feel it. Like, it's very embedded in the community out there.
Yeah, it's really lovely. And it's such a beautiful community, and it's a great place. And I think, you know, the architecture there is just going to be, I'm really imagining kind of Crom walking through that lovely old architecture and the castle, and kind of finishing off down near the arch. And yeah, I think it'll be really beautiful.
And is this year particularly special for yourselves in Mocness and Athenry in terms of getting back out into the streets?
Yeah, I think this will be a lovely, I mean, we're very excited to be back out in the streets in Galway again coming up at Halloween. But it's going to be really lovely just to kind of, you know, introduce ourselves back on the streets in this kind of lovely, intimate way in Athenry. I think that would be really, and it's lovely to be out in the county and to be supported by the County Arts Office. It's really great to you know, to make this event happen. And we're also doing a schools project in Athenry alongside this event with Coláiste Ócánraí and with the TY students. So they're going to be guardians of Crom with torches, and they're going to be part of the show with us. So that's really great to connect in with the schools there as well.
Finally, to you, Sharon, it's great fun for a lot of communities to get involved in stuff like this, particularly for people who mightn't be sport interested and focused, that they have this outlet for themselves.
That's right. And in many cases, there's a lot of heritage kind of events as well. So if you're not into, I suppose, what people might feel is high art, there's a lot of workshops, things to try out. But it's also communities showcasing their own kind of artists, the work that they've been doing. Like even out in Clifton, working with the Clifton Arts Festival, Interface have a lovely exhibition out there, and they're doing a workshop there. But it just is a celebration of what we have. We've a huge amount of artists and creative communities all around the county. So from our point of view, it's one of those nights where we put it all on show. The only sad thing is we can't get to everything, obviously, but just to say thanks to all of the culture providers and all of the communities who've come out, opened their doors. Everything is free, so make sure and go and look at culturenight.ie. And thanks to Mocness for coming with us on the journey to Athenry. And we're very lucky as well to finish off the night in Athenry with fireworks, thanks to Londa. So it's just one of those extravagant nights. So we're delighted. Once Mocness kind of move off the street, we'll have a big show. So I think it's going to be a great event for families.
Definitely. Sharon O'Grady, the Galway County Arts Officer, and also Victoria McCormack, the Head of Creative Engagement with Mocness. Thank you both for joining us on Galway Talks. And people can get more information there on culturenight.ie. Am I right
That's
in saying
perfect,
that?
Yes.
That's perfect. Thank you
so
both
much
for joining us here on Galway Talks. We'll have a look at what's coming up tomorrow. But if you want to get involved tomorrow, 0917700077. That's the phone number to call reception. And that is it for today's programme. Coming up on the show tomorrow, we'll have the Central Bank Governor in Galway. He joins me in studio. Free screening of The People There to Catch Us takes place in the Town Hall Theatre this weekend. We'll have the City Tribune headlines. The Oyster Shucker is discussed on the programme. The Monsignor, The Man, His Mistress and Missing Money. That book will be discussed on the programme. We look at the sports preview ahead of a very busy weekend in Gaelic games and on the other sporting fronts as well. The lineup for TG Cahar's Rust and Ruin Culture Night 2023 will have one of their actors in studio tomorrow. And also we look ahead to the Ballinasloe Agricultural Show, which takes place this weekend. All that plus lots more coming up tomorrow. Thanks to Darren, who produced, and Cuiva, who assisted as well, and also Siobhan, who took your calls and reception. Ronan Lardner is up next with the Live Wire. Have a very good afternoon.